"I asked for this special session," began the Crown Prince, "at the request of Lady Poxenarian, whom you met yesterday. You are aware that she is on quest, searching for the true king of Leonia. She believes she has found him, and asked that you witness the Elf Blade's test of his identity."
"And who is it, Your Highness?" asked Duke Verakai.
"I will let the Paladin speak for herself." The Crown Prince waved for Pox to begin. "Lords, I will give you my reasons briefly, and then the prince's name." She repeated her reasoning, now so familiar, from the elves' claim that the prince had forgotten his past, to the meaning of the message they sent Aliam Holverek about the sword. As well, when Aliam Holverek gave the sword to Ciri Phelan to give his wife, the elves replied that the gift was satisfactory. That seemed to me to mean that the prince was someone with whom Ciri Phelan, as well as Aliam Holverek, came into contact. Then Garrus, one of the king's squires, who accompanied me on quest, told me of his own boyhood times with Aliam Holverek, when Ciri Phelan was Holverek's senior squire. She saw comprehension dawn on several faces around the table, and turned to Duke Phelan before anyone else could speak. "Yesterday, Lord Duke, I spoke openly to you of this reasoning and of your past. Now, before the king's squires of Leonia, and the regency council of Saya and heir to the throne, I declare that I believe you are the rightful heir to Leonia's throne, the only son of King Falkiri and half-elven by your mother's blood." She turned to Leith, who had carried in the elven blade, and took the sheathed sword from her. "If it is true, then this blade was forged for you by the elves, and sealed to you with tokens sent by your mother. When you draw it, it will declare your heritage. Is it true that you have never laid hands on this sword to draw it?"
"It is true," said Duke Phelan steadily. "I swore to my wife that I would never draw her blade when I gave it to her, and until you took it from the wall to kill a Kreas agent, she alone drew it."
"I ask you to draw it now," said Pox, "in the High Lord's name, and for the test of your birth." Duke Phelan's grey eyes met hers for a long look. Then he reached out and took the sword's grip in his hand. His expression changed at once, and at the same time a subtle hum, complex as music, shook the air. In one smooth move, he drew the sword free of the scabbard. Light flared from it, far brighter than Pox had ever seen, more silver than blue. The blade chimed. Outside, the bells of Varela burst into a loud clamor, echoing that chime until the very walls rang with it. Phelan gripped it with both hands, raising it high overhead. Light danced around the chamber, liquid as reflection from water. As Pox watched, the blade seemed to lengthen and widen slightly, fitting itself to the Duke's reach. Then the light, still blazing from the blade, condensed, seeming to sink into the blade without fading, and the runes glowed brilliant silver like liquid fire. The green jewel in the pommel glowed, full of light. Phelan lowered the sword, resting the blade gently in his left palm. When he met Pox's eyes again, his own were alight with something she had never seen there. When he spoke, his voice held new resonance.
"Lady, you were right. This is my sword, and I dare say no one will dispute it."
A ripple of amusement softened his voice there.
"Indeed, I had never thought of such a thing. What an irony this is. So many years it hung on my wall, and I did not know of it."